If you want to, if you have a Bible in front of you, you might like to turn to John chapter 1 again. We're going to continue looking at John the Baptist this evening as we thought about him this morning and what he did and what we can learn from him. We saw that he was a man sent from God with a message from God, that he was called himself and he was a message in the desert, or a voice in the desert, sorry, a voice in the desert, gone to prepare, there to prepare rather, the way for somebody greater than himself. Now this evening, I want to think about that the fact that he was a signpost to Jesus and a role model for us, a signpost to Jesus. And a role model for us. When Jesus came in the crowd with the people listening to John saw him and he immediately pointed out who he was. If you look at 29 in the John chapter 1, we see that the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We're out there in the wilderness. Crowds of people are there listening to John. He's baptizing them and Jesus comes along. John sees him and he recognizes him and he identifies him to all those who are around. "This is the man that I was talking about," he said. "This is the man who is greater than I. This is the man who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In verse 33, he says that. And he was so effective in pointing to Jesus that some of his own disciples, almost immediately it seems, on verse 35 there, some of his own disciples left John and started to follow Jesus, walked off to follow Jesus. Now, John looked at Jesus and he said, "The Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." What did he mean? What did he mean? John's hearers were all Jews at that stage. They knew the Old Testament, at least something of most of it. And they'll have known that story that we just read together. How God had told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis 22. Sacrifice Isaac, his only son, whom he had waited for many years. The son of, who was a promised son, God had said, "You'll have a son. Sarah will become a mother." He was a miracle baby. All the promises were based on Isaac. God had said, "In Isaac will your seed be called." But then this command, "Go and sacrifice Isaac." How could it be? How could it be? And yet, the way the story is written in Genesis 22 there, it sounds as if Abraham obeyed God promptly, you know, the next morning, as it were. The next morning he got up and he set out, took his donkey, took the wood, he took the fire, and he obeyed God promptly. We need to try thinking. To know God. He was surrounded by pagan people who worshipped false gods. And child sacrifice might well have been common among the pagan people around him. And Abraham, we might have thought, well, maybe my God's the same. Maybe my God wants my son too. And so he had, because he was being obedient, because he was a man of faith, he was going to do what he had been commanded to do without question. But oh, if you imagine that long walk, if you're a father or a mother, that long walk over 2 days, it was the third day when he arrived there, and you think, what was Abraham thinking about? How did he feel all that time? He must have felt really, really heavy in his heart. Imagine that walk up the mountain when Isaac says, here, I see the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? And Abraham's reply, God will provide for himself a lamb. And then Abraham ties Isaac to the altar and he lifts up his knife to kill him, and God stopped him. I remember we used to tell this story to the children when they were small, and we used to imagine there's an angel there and he got his hand in between the knife and Isaac and he wasn't going to let that knife come down. God said, don't touch the boy, don't touch the boy. And God provided a substitute, a ram caught in the thicket. They knew the story. They knew the story. God had provided what was a ram in this case to replace Isaac. They knew of the Passover lambs. When the angel of death had gone through Egypt on that first Passover on the 10th day of the month, and these lambs were sacrificed that first Passover night to save the firstborn sons of Israel. When in every household in Egypt where a lamb had not been sacrificed, the firstborn sons died. But in Hebrew homes, the lambs replaced the firstborn sons. There were substitutes for those sons. And every year, the Passover lambs were still sacrificed in the Temple of Jerusalem. The people were well aware of sacrificial lambs. They knew of the Lamb of Isaiah 53, where we read that he is led like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep before his shearers is dumb. For nearly 2,000 years, lambs have been the principal sacrifices for the people of Israel. Innocent victims who died in the place of guilty people. And now here is a new lamb. In fact, verse 31, it tells us that that was the reason John came. He said, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. He had come to introduce the people of Israel to Jesus, the Lamb of God. But there's a difference this time, isn't there? Up until now, the sinner had to bring his own lamb. It came from the flock. They were nearly all shepherds and farmers. It came from his own flock. Had to be perfect and without defect. And yet that was the lamb that was a substitute for its owner. But now, John says, here is the Lamb of God. God had provided a lamb. This is surely the ultimate fulfillment of what Abraham had said in Genesis 22. Where is the lamb? God will provide for himself a lamb. Here we see it is ultimately fulfilled. We have God reaching down in mercy to us and providing a lamb for our atonement, the forgiveness of our sins. You see, if ever we were to become children of God, God had to provide a way of salvation, for we are incapable of dealing with our own sin. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament couldn't do it. Hebrews 10 verse 4 tells us, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Impossible. They couldn't do it. All those lambs were models. Models of Jesus, the true Lamb of God. And what would this Lamb do? He would take away the sins of the world. important that we remember that it's what Jesus did that saves us. You know, sometimes we fear that maybe we aren't true Christians. Maybe somebody here who feels that way. But because the devil comes along and he says, oh, you haven't repented well. Or you haven't felt sorry enough. And what we do, what happens here is we're trusting in our repentance rather than what Jesus has done. Now, my repentance is probably always less than perfect, but Jesus' sacrifice is perfect. What he has done is perfect. And we need to be careful because the devil can run us round in circles, causing us to have doubts and fears by making us think of our repentance hasn't been perfect. We don't trust in our own repentance. We trust in Jesus and his death for us. The hymn writer wrote, 'Tis not by tears of repentance or prayers, but the blood that atones for the soul. On him then who shed it, thou mayest I can't read my own writing here. Oh, aye. On him who then who shed it, thou mayest at once thy weight of iniquities roll. Then doubt not thy welcome, since God has declared there remaineth no more to be done. That once in the end of the world he appeared and completed the work he began. Once in the end of the world Jesus appeared, the Lamb of God, and he took away the sin of the world. He paid the price for it all. John was introducing people to Jesus. He also testified to Jesus' divinity here in verse 30. He said, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. Jesus, he was before me. Now, as a man, Jesus was slightly younger than John, and he was later beginning his ministry. Yet John says he was before me, because John is testifying here to the fact that Jesus was in the beginning with God. He wasn't an ordinary man. He said, I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Remember again, John the Apostle, his desire in writing this book was that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And John the Baptist was the first witness to that. Now, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There was another sacrifice, another ceremony in the Hebrew year, which really illustrates what Jesus was to do and did. It was the annual ceremony of the scapegoat on the great day of atonement. We can read about it in Leviticus 16. And in it, the priest chose two goats. And they were both the same. There was nothing to choose between them. But they selected one of those two goats to die and one to be the scapegoat. And the sacrificial goat, it was sacrificed for the sins of the people, like so many animals. And then the high priest, it was a high priest that day, he laid his hands on the other goat and he symbolically confessed and placed on its head the sins of the whole nation. Let me read you what it says in Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, verses 21 and 22. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. That's a lovely picture of the taking away of sins, isn't it? This goat bears all the sins of the nation of Israel into the wilderness and is lost there, left to wander in the wilderness, and those sins are dealt with. All the people's sins carried into the desert. Again, my friends, how many of us sometimes struggle with guilt, struggle with feelings of doubt about our fitness for heaven? God gave these models to the people of Israel so they would to strengthen their faith and to help us to understand what Jesus was doing. Christ, the Lamb of God, really has borne our sins on the cross. He really has taken that judgment for our iniquities, that we might go free. He says to each one who trusts in him today, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. You bear them no more. Jesus was and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was and is the scapegoat who's carried our sins into the wilderness, and we bear them no more, never to be remembered against us anymore. Now, Jesus is not your Savior. Perhaps you think, I don't need a Savior, I'm not a sinner. The Bible tells us that we are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. In the Christianity Explored course, Rico Tice has a saying that we're greater sinners than we ever imagined, and God's love for us is greater than we ever dreamed. Greater than we ever dreamed. The Lamb of God has died for your sin if you do not know him as a Savior, and he wants you to come. He invites you to come to him for salvation. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus was a signpost to Jesus. John was a signpost to Jesus. And also, John is a model for us all. Look at what he did. First of all, he was a clear witness to God's message. He was not afraid to point out sin, show people their need of salvation. He warned people that judgment was coming. Now, this wasn't a popular message even then. Sometimes imagine it maybe wasn't less, people were more ready to listen then than they are now, but it wasn't a popular message. John the Baptist warned King Herod that his lifestyle was wrong and paid for it with his life. He was executed. People have never liked to be told about sin. Never liked being warned that judgment is coming. But this is the truth. This is the truth. This is God's message to a rebellious world, and we must be willing to make it known. God's assessment of us all is that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. When we understand that we need a Savior, then we know that a Savior has come and has died. But how do we raise that subject of sin with people nowadays? Passion for Life videos are perhaps a good thing here. We're watching them on Wednesday nights, helping us to realize how to bring the gospel into conversations, how to make contact with people, how to raise the need of salvation with people who feel they're pretty good, really. You know, most of our neighbors think they're all right, you know, not too bad. If anybody's going to get to heaven, well, they will. They do the best they can. What are we to say? How do we point them to Jesus? Well, one thing to say to them is, I needed a Savior. I needed a Savior, and I'm glad that Jesus died for me. I'm, I'm glad that he died for me. We all need a Savior. So let's keep watching the Passion for Life videos. Let's think about how to bring the gospel into conversations. Let's think how to make the kind of context with our neighbors that will lead us to be able to tell them about Jesus. So John was not afraid to point people, to remind people of sin, to tell them about their sin. And he was a signpost to Jesus. He explained who Jesus was and that he was the Lamb of God. And that's our job too, isn't it? To be signposts, to show people the way to Jesus, to urge them to follow him, to urge them to come to him. Now, John had a huge crowd around him, and we may not be as successful as John was. In fact, he probably won't in today's world. But God doesn't ask for success. He does ask that we be faithful witnesses and signposts. Are we? Are we looking out for ways to witness for Jesus? Remember Andrew verse 40, we didn't read it, but verse 40 of John 1. Sorry, I think I've got verse 40. Yes. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Christ, the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew, first thing he did was to find his own brother and brought him to Jesus. May God help us to be those who are open and willing to find others and to bring them to Jesus. To bring them to Jesus. And remember, as we saw this morning, if we're going to be useful in Christ's kingdom, he must become greater and we must become less. Jesus must become greater and we must become less. Are we willing for that too? So John was a signpost to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he's a great role model for us in his courage and in the fact that he pointed people to Jesus. May God bless his word to all our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who took our place, who paid our debt, who took on himself our sins and our iniquities, that we might go free. Oh, Father, we thank you for him. And we thank you today that he is here. He's ready to forgive. He is ready to make any of us who do not know you, if we come to you, he will make us a new man or new women in Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray you bless your word to us, that you'll help us who know you to be signposts to Jesus where we are and I'm willing to speak for you. Oh, help us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.